Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaurava Kutravinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Bhagavad Gita 24 verse 71 Yoga Desham
Yoga Desham
Vasadhyo
Vasadhyo
Dayanto
Dayanto
Muni Vrata
Muni Vrata
Samahita
Samahita
Diya
Sarva
Eta
Abhyasatadata
Yoga Desham Upasadya
Yoga Desham Upasadya
Daryanto Muni Vrata
Daryanto Muni Vrata
Samahita Diya Sarva
Samahita Diya Sarva
Eta Abhyasatadata
Eta Abhyasatadata
Yoga Desham,
Yoga Desham,
instruction of Bhakti Yoga,
Upasadhyā,
constantly reading,
reading.
Dharayanta,
taking within the heart,
Muni Vrata,
just take the vow
of the great sages,
Samahita,
always fixed in the mind,
Diya,
intelligence.
Sarve,
all of you,
Etat,
this,
Abhyasata,
practice,
Adrata,
with great reverence.
Translation,
my dear princes, in the form of a prayer I have delineated the yoga system of chanting the holy name. All you, of you should take this important stotra within your minds and promise to keep it in order to become great sages by acting silently like a great sage. By giving attention, reverence, you shall practice this method. Purport in the Hatha Yoga system as a practice bodily exercise, jhana, dharana, asana, meditation, etc. One also has to sit in one place in a particular posture and concentrate his gaze on the tip of the nose. There are so many rules and regulations of the Hatha Yoga system that it is practically impossible to perform in this age. The alternative system of Bhakti Yoga is very easy, not only in this age, but in others as well. This yoga system was advocated long ago by Lord Shiva when he advised the princes, the sons of King Prachinabharichat, Bhakti Yoga system is not newly introduced, for even 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna recommended this Bhakti Yoga as the topmost yoga. As Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, of all yogis, he who abides in me with great faith, worshiping and transcendental living service, the most intimately united with me in yoga, the highest of all. The topmost yogi is he who constantly thinks of Krishna within himself and chants the glories of the Lord. In other words, the system of Bhakti Yoga has been existing from time immemorial and is now continuing in its Krishna consciousness movement. The word Muni Vrata is significant in this regard because those who are interested in advancing in spiritual life must be silent. Silence means talking only of Krishna Katha. This is the silence of Maharaj Ambarish. King Ambarish always fixed his mind in the lotus feet of the Lord and talked of him only. We should also take this opportunity in life to become as good as the great saints, simply by not talking unnecessarily with unwanted persons. We should either talk of Krishna or chant Hare Krishna undeviatingly. This is called Muni Vrata. The intelligence must be very sharp and should always be acting in Krishna consciousness. The words etat, abhyasata, dhrata indicate that if one takes these instructions from a spiritual master with great reverence and practice, then accordingly he will find this bhakti yoga process to be very, very easy. Translation, my dear princes, in the form of prayer, are delineated the yoga system of chanting the holy name. All of you should take this important stroke within your minds and promise to keep it in order to become great sages. By acting silently like the great sage and by giving attention and reverence, you shall practice this method. So, this stotra, or a group of verses praising the Supreme Lord, is to be recited constantly. That was the instruction of Shiva. So this is also a type of sadhana and bhakti, to recite prayers to the Lord. Of course, this is different from chanting directly the name of the Lord. When we say Nam Sankirtan, we simply say, mean the names of the Lord, like Krishna or Govinda. Whereas stotra includes the names of the Lord, but within grammatical statements and sentences and verses, etc. So it's slightly different. Expansion, let's say, on the name of the Lord. Both are bona fide processes in Bhakti Yoga, but we'll find that chanting stotras requires that one has to learn the stotra first and learn the meaning of the stotra, etc., and chant it nicely. So it does require some preparation. Chanting the name of the Lord, on the other hand, does not require such preparation. It simply requires one to chant the names of the Lord. One doesn't have to know even grammar to chant those names. So it's a much easier method in that way. The other point, of course, is that because the name is absolute, it is not less powerful than a stotra, which makes a statement. The name is considered to be non-different from the Lord. Of course, we can say the whole Vedas are non-different from the Lord, and the Bhagavatam is non-different from the Lord. But just the name of the Lord, the name Krishna, is also non-different from Krishna. So it's a much simpler way of approaching Krishna simply by saying his name than having to recite the whole Bhagavatam or recite stotras, etc., or the Vedas, etc. They're all absolute, but the simplest way is simply to take the name of the Lord, and that is non-different from the Supreme Lord. So just as the Lord is eternal, the name is eternal, the Lord is full of wonderful qualities, the name is full of wonderful qualities. The Lord gives all sorts of blessings, material and spiritual. The name can also give all sorts of blessings, material and spiritual. So therefore the name is called Chintamani. However, just as there's various stotras, so there's various names of the Lord, and they all have different potencies. So we have stotras here praising Supreme Lord, not directly Krishna, but Vishnu form mainly. in the 10th canto, we'll find verses like a chorus praising Krishna more directly. Or we'll find verses of the gopis very directly praising Krishna. So in this way, various names of the Lord will also have various potencies. So the name of the Lord, of course, is absolute. But the particular names will indicate particular forms of the Lord, and therefore it is non-different from that particular form, and the particular potency of that particular form is manifest in the name. So that is why it is said that Vishnu names, 1,000 Vishnu names is equal to 1 name of Rama. Because the Vishnu names will manifest Vishnu, and the Rama name will manifest Rama. And Rama manifests more particular qualities than Vishnu. At the same time, we say that Krishna's name is 3 times Rama's name. So that means that Krishna manifests more qualities than Rama does. And therefore, by chanting Krishna's name, we realize Krishna instead of Rama. So in this way, the various names of the Lord have manifest various potencies, so they're all absolute. And other names, of course, are not even that powerful. The names of Paramatma or the names of Brahman are even in a lesser category. And so by those chanting those names, one only gets realization of those particular forms. So if we chant names like Nirakara, Nirvishesha, Brahman, etc., we attain that. All-pervading, etc. These are very general propositions. Therefore, we'll get very general realizations. And we talk about the creator of the world, the destroyer of the world, the witness of the world, etc. These are all Paramatma manifestations. So we get a limited aspect of the Lord in the realization. So, therefore, there are different types of names also, even though the Lord is absolute. So of all the names, the name of Krishna is the highest. Of course, Krishna also has many different names. But the name of Krishna is particularly glorified among all his names, even though all his names are absolute, like Govinda, etc. Still, the name of Krishna is considered to be particularly our most powerful to deliver the living entities and get picked with the highest level of prema. So that is why we chant the name of Krishna among all things. So, though that we do have stotras and other things, we should not consider chanting the name of Krishna inferior. It is absolute. And because we chant the name of Krishna, then that is not different from Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. So therefore, that is all that is necessary for one's spiritual advancement. However, in chanting, again, anyone can chant, even the sinful person or ignorant person can chant accidentally, as in Ajamil's case. And we get effect from the name, any name of the Lord. And of course, if we chant Krishna's name, we get more effect. But in chanting stotras or doing anything, or even deity worship, whatever, it also depends upon one's a certain degree of knowledge. So we can avoid aparads and at the same time cultivate devotion. So we have to know the difference between Krishna and devatas, and Krishnas and jivas. We have to know the difference between Krishna and Brahman. We have to know the difference between bhakti and mixed bhakti. All these things have to be known. Otherwise, we're bound to commit some sort of mistakes. So, therefore, some knowledge also is necessary if we want to chant properly. So, when we have that knowledge, then we call it sudanam, or pure chanting of the name. So not only we have the name of Krishna, but we also have certain conditions which are there for higher advancement. In one sense, there's no rules and regulations for the name, but if we want to advance nicely, then we do have certain conditions of knowledge, etc., that we follow. So therefore, we have to get that sambandha again. So that is why the hearing process also is very important. So along with the chanting process, we have kirtan, we also have the sravana process, listening to the scriptures about the Supreme Lord. So by that, we have Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is particularly useful because it ultimately explains Krishna. That is its particular point. though it does explain different avatars and have all sorts of stories like this story of the Prachetas, etc., the Manus, and all these other stories like regular Puranas, ultimately the whole goal is to relate everything to Krishna. So our understanding of Krishna should be there. But what distinguishes Krishna from other forms of the Lord, from Vishnu, or from Shiva, or from Paramatma and the Purusha avatars? So that, of course, we'll find presented in various places, and also in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, where we have a complete description of Krishna's pastimes with his devotees. So with that knowledge, then on the chanting of the name of Krishna leads us to higher realizations. If we have no knowledge, even then, it has a effect. So as in the case of Ajamil accidentally chanting the Hines, then he got rid of all those karmas. That's nothing. So chanting the name of Krishna also can do that. But if we actually want to get to the highest level of prema, then we do have to have some deeper knowledge. So that is why the Bhagavatam is there, to give us that deeper knowledge. Yeah, in one sense, and also to show how Krishna relates to everything else. How Krishna relates to the avatar forms and to the other Purusha avatars, how he relates to the creation and the destruction of the material world, etc. Because these are naturally questions people ask anyway. So, in one sense, how is Krishna related? Indirectly. His expansions of the Purusha avatars take care of the material world. And the super soul, etc. They do everything in the material world. So that's the greatness of the Lord. But that is nothing in comparison to Krishna, who is, let's say, the source of all that.
My information about chanting prayers and chanting Mahamantra. Mahamantra is as good as two prayers. But he prays the devotee and the Lord as a personal being. Personally, it's been about the Lord's face and the good form.
Yeah, well, everything is in the name also. The name includes his four qualities and activities. It's absolute. I mean, not look like it's there, but it is.
But when we read prayers, we get that person is listening to the prayer, he understands the meaning of God's shape and attributes.
Well, that is why we also do have the process of Sravana. So when we do chant the name of Krishna, we understand what it means, and that he does have qualities, form, activities, etc.
What are the different names?
According to how they describe the Lord, obviously. So if it's described as Paramatma, that's the limit of its realization. If it's described as Bhagavan, it's higher. If it's described as Rama, it's higher. If it's described as Krishna, it's higher. Oh, Brahma Samhita. Well, that directly glorifies Krishna in relation to everything else, so that's very high. We have Hari Varaya Nama Krishna, for instance, maybe that. That's not actually Nama in one sense, because it's got Nama on it also, but anyway. Not really. In our sampradaya, generally, they concentrate on chanting of Hare Krishna mantra.
What is Narsimha
Kausha mantra? Did you chanting? That's for realizing Narsimha, if you want to go to Narsimha Loka.
To the highest level of prema, one has to have knowledge of this Krishna. On the other hand, we see gopis, only understand the gopis or the level of knowledge.
What's that?
To get to the highest level of prema, one has to have knowledge.
Yeah.
On the other hand, gopis, you don't see them in the pictures or not.
Well, many of them need to sit up. They eternally like that. Now, it is possible sadhana, so therefore we have the sages in Naimisaranya who do the sadhana. And they desired the Lord, and they were blessed to become sadhana siddha gopis. And we have the personified Vedas also. They took the form of gopis also, the Upanishads. They became gopis also, sadhasas. Became sadhana siddhas also. So it is possible, but it takes practice.
It can be vice versa. The person is sincerely chanting Mahamantra, or sincerely chanting Mahamantra, not even living himself in the heart. His knowledge is automatically revealed.
Provided you can do it properly. So that, but in order to do it properly, then you usually require some knowledge. Otherwise you can speculate so much. So that is why we have a parampara system.
What about the same Atma has got some knowledge in the previous life?
That's possible. In some cases possible. But still, it's not always manifest perfectly, so therefore they require some
What is the importance of chanting stotras vis-a-vis chanting the name of the Lord?
It's not the type of bhakti. Just like we do archana, or we do hearing, or we do sadhu sangha, and so many other things, bowing down, the rangas of bhakti. The accompanying process of chanting. Now chanting is the main thing, chanting the name is the main thing, but then we can do these other things also, non-contradictory.
But in terms of deities, I mean, we do yajna in terms of deities, but actually when we refer the Panjatattva deity, I mean, they are so many in yajna area. Only, you know, we are doing non yajna, but Prabhupada directly does that. There
will be
only one place to one yajna and finish. Mm. But
oh,
there are
yeah.
Places, all over the places.
Mm.
But this is a
karma khanda. No, this falls in pancharatra, which is not karma khanda. Huh? Karma khanda means doing a lot of sacrifices that David does and other persons. These sacrifices are part of the pancharatra process of pratishtha. Or insulation of the deity. Of course, the other process is the raga process. Chant Hare Krishna, it's all your deity. That's another way you can do it. But since we're doing archana in a temple, generally try to follow the pancharatra system.
So maybe during Prabhupada's time, the devotees are not qualified, they need their manpower and time limit.
They just bathe the deities and put them on an altar, basically.
That's all.
You know, plastic ladles or something.
You know, for this land, they're melting. Mm. I mean, nowadays they're doing yajna because they're melting. They get money. Money. Robert never meant it. Robert only told us he can't leave this
land. Well, there are various ways we can, in other words, we can worship the Lord in various ways. So you can worship by meditation, by sacrifices, by deity worship, by chanting, ultimately chanting only. So we don't even have to have deities. We don't even have to have deities because chanting is the Yuga Dharma, so we can just depend on that. But as I said, we often introduce other angas of bhakti also, just as, you know, secondary process. It's not that we do it all the time.
Yeah, but Prabhupada never introduced it.
No. Of course, he had sacrifices for initiation and things like that, which the Gaudiyas didn't do in general. No. They never
did.
The only sacrifice they do is second initiation, and that's the samskar for upanayanam. They do the upanayanam samskar, because you get upanayanam. Only in that sense they do the sacrifice.
Not for harinam.
Not for harinam, no.
You know, when we take harinam, then from the guru there is our spiritual master.
Yeah.
But then in Gaudiya Mahat, one who takes second initiation, then they consider him as a spiritual master.
Well, as Diksha Guru. As Diksha Guru.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because they get mantra. That's when they get their secret mantra. And the first thing is giving out name. Name does not require diksha. Giving names is giving teachings. It's like a shiksha.
The sotras are the individual prayers of individual realization.
Huh?
The sotras are the individual prayers of individual realization of the Lord.
Well, the stotras can be things in the scriptures made by particular persons, like if she was stotra or whatever, and Gaudiya Tantra, we have stotras there also, somebody's particular prayers, or individual persons that they write Sanskrit can make their prayers also. So that's just a particular expression, that's all, in devotion. If they're in eternal scriptures, if people write them at the present time or not.
What are the songs that are chanting at the
time? That's what I'm saying, those are written at a particular time. But other things are in scriptures, they're eternal.
Sometimes when we talk about this, Prabhupada said this and Prabhupada said that. what we need, because some people are used in the...
Well, one has to be careful because he says things in context. So, you know, you can't always take everything as absolute. You have to be very, very careful how you use those quotations. Well, you have to study them very carefully, and better not to quote unless you know the background of each thing. Otherwise, you can mean various things in various places. Because you may talk to a particular employee and say one thing, they say something else to somebody else, and then you get contradictions like that.
So we have to go to the system of property.
ఏదో మంచి అది